The following sermon is from the Congregational Church of New Canaan in New Canaan, Connecticut. For more information about us, please visit godsacre.org.
Well, people of God, say amen.
Amen.
Thank you for leading us. So I'm going to do something I don't normally do. I'm not going to ask you to open your Bibles this morning because plans have adjusted a little bit. We're going to have a little bit different scripture. I was trying yesterday to figure out what scripture might be appropriate for this day. And Jonas, Storm Jonas. Jonas is the Greek translation for Jonah. So I thought, well, maybe there's something in the story of Jonah that might speak to us this morning. So I'm going to give a little survey of the story. And it is a story. It's not a historical account, but the story of Jonah. So just follow along with me here. The beginning goes like this. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai, saying, "Go at once to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me." But Jonah set out to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa, found a ship going to Tarshish. He paid his fare, got his ticket, went on board to go with them to Tarshish away from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord hurled a great wind upon the sea, and such a mighty storm came upon the sea that the ship was threatened to break up. And so the solution to this problem was Jonah said, "Throw me in the sea and all will be well." And that's what happened. And then it says in verse 17, "But the Lord provided a large fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish for 3 days and three nights." Incidentally, praying his heart out, apparently. And then when that was done, it said, "Then the Lord spoke to the fish, and it spewed Jonah out upon the dry land." Jonah got vomited up. And then it says, "The word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time, saying, 'Get up, go to Nineveh, that great city, and proclaim to it the message that I will tell you.'" So Jonah goes, preaches for these people to repent, and the story ends, at least for our purposes. It says, "When God saw what the Ninevites did, how they turned from their evil ways, God changed his mind about the calamity that God said he would bring upon them. And he did not do it." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
We're going to try that again. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Much better. Let's pray together. Lord God, we thank you for this day, even though perhaps we woke up to circumstances that weren't in our planning. So we just ask for your blessing in this moment. We pray that your spirit would move, and we pray that what you have presented us today is exactly what you want us to deal with, to think about, to wrestle with. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So for those of you that may be visiting us for the first time, or for those of you youth I haven't had a chance to meet yet, it's important for you to know that I am not the Reverend Kate Murphy. Kate is a very dear friend of mine. She is our youth group mission partner this year. She is an amazing preacher, and she was supposed to be addressing you right now, but plans have changed. Winter storm Jonas. Jonah arrived. Thousands of flights were canceled, including Kate's and Octavia's, and here we are. Here I am doing something that, frankly, I had not planned on doing. Now, there is a lesson. There is a lesson here, to be sure. When it was confirmed yesterday that Kate and Octavia were not going to be able to join us for this weekend or this service of worship, I had to do something I never, ever do. I tell my preaching students at Boston University, and in fact, I told them this past Tuesday, which Tuesday is actually my sermon writing day. I said to them, as I always say, I said, this is a little bit controversial, but never, ever, ever, ever write or wait to write Sunday's message on Saturday night. I said to them, I said, you know, you may not like this, but if you can't find time to get the message done before Saturday night, find a different profession. Do something else, because I was serious, and I am serious. Too many congregations have had to endure hastily prepared messages, and frankly, too many pastors have withered under the pressure of drafting last-minute sermons. However, because our plans have changed, I found myself doing just that. This has prompted me to reflect on what we do when things don't go as planned. How do we respond when life gets interrupted? How do we react when circumstances change in inconvenient ways. How do we respond? This would be the congregational participation moment in the sermon. When things don't go our way, when we're inconvenienced, how do we respond?
Why? You pray.
Maybe you pray if you're really, really faithful. I love that answer. But for those of us that are not that faithful, what might we do?
Complain.
Yeah, that's going farther than I intended. We get upset. We get angry. Maybe we get anxious. I don't know. Perhaps we do something really constructive, like look for someone to blame. And if the culprit is some storm that cannot accept our blame, then maybe we'll simply, I don't know, mope around for a while lamenting our circumstances, or we will get snippy and frankly snotty with those closest to us as a way of venting our frustration a bit. What should we do when things don't go as planned? That is the real question. So I think Jonah's helpful because Jonah had a plan. Jonah, he really did. God wanted Jonah to go to Nineveh, but Jonah really desperately desired to go to Tarshish. I'm going to bet that Jonah had dreamed of being the preacher, the prophet of Tarshish, probably for years. Incidentally, Tarshish was believed to be an exotic port of call that kind of existed just on the edge of imagination. Tarshish was envisioned as this last point of earthly contact before people ventured off into the great unknown. Tarshish is not mentioned all that often in the Bible. When it is, it's during King Solomon's time, where it said that every 3 years a ship would arrive from Tarshish loaded with gold, silver, ivory, apes, peacocks. Okay, so it's this remarkable place. But scholars can't agree if Tarshish actually existed. I mean, perhaps Tarshish was nothing more than a dream, a mirage, a fantasy that plays in a person's mind in ways that distract them from the real opportunities that are actually right in front of them. You know, if that's so, then perhaps Tarshish is that imaginary place, that environment, that life arrangement you plan to get to, you hope to get to, where you believe when you actually arrive, all will be well. Life will be happy, you will be happy, contented, satisfied. You know, that place may not exist, but we still long for it. So, real or not, right or not, Jonah made plans to go to Tarshish. He bought a ticket, Jonah hopped on the boat, set sail in pursuit of his dream, but then we're told this great storm blew up out of nowhere. Travel was halted, plans changed. So now what? What do you do when you suddenly discover that what you were planning on doing, you can't do anymore? You know, what did Jonah do? Now, with Alan sitting here, it's important for me to say that I've left out a number of complicating developments in Jonah's story, but the Spark Notes version of the story is that Jonah wound up going to Nineveh. He preached to the people of Nineveh to repent. The people of Nineveh listened to Jonah and changed their misbehaving ways, and God was pleased. The end. Not really, but for our purposes, the end. Plans changed. Jonah eventually allowed his itinerary, his agenda to change, and he found himself in a place where he really needed to be. And as the story goes, an entire city of people, 120,000 folks plus animals, were saved from destruction. So Jonah's plans changed, and the result was that he discovered his purpose, and a whole lot of people were saved. I'm going to suggest that's not a bad outcome. Not bad at all. That would seem to indicate that an unexpected change in plans might be more of an opportunity than the initial inconvenience might suggest. Life interrupted. Life interrupted, when that interruption is embraced, can really become life well lived. I mean, it's true. An unexpected shift in our agenda has a way of getting us back on track with God's desires for us. Now, I have been on. I have led more youth mission trips than I care to remember, frankly. I have led numerous church groups on pilgrimages to the Holy Land. I've had, as it's true for many of us, plenty of opportunity to make plans for myself and others, and I've learned a lot over those experiences, but one thing I've learned for sure is that there isn't a trip I have taken or a significant plan I've made that didn't get adjusted somewhere along the way. And I am absolutely certain, as amazing as Caroline and Kim and Kelly and the youth leaders are at organizing and preparing mission trips, I am convinced that there will be something on this adventure that you're about to take that will not go as planned. You know, I don't know, a flight might get delayed. It is February, after all. A van might break down. You might arrive at a site and find that the work you're asked to do wasn't exactly the work you had planned on. Or contractors, you get there and the materials aren't exactly what you need. Or there aren't enough hammers, or there aren't enough shovels, or there aren't enough wheelbarrows. Or perhaps, and this is really important, as you're going to your work, as you're going to your site, you may bump into someone or some situation that was not on the agenda that demands your attention and assistance. It happens, and in those moments, you've got a choice. You got a decision to make. You know, how will you choose to respond? Will you moan and groan and complain? Or will you roll with the situation and pay attention to what new experience the Lord may be ushering you into? I've learned, and I know many of you know this, I have learned that those interruptions, those agenda adjustments, often lead to the most important, the most meaningful, and frankly, the most talked about and remembered experiences on the journey itself. You may come to understand, and this is for all of us, we may come to understand that our plans for ourselves are not nearly as interesting as the adventures life and the Lord will present to us. Years ago, who's a sophomore here? Yeah, you can raise your hands in church. It's okay? I notice they're not sophomores. It's you all up here, okay? Well, years ago when I was a sophomore at high school up at John Jay, just up the road here, I had a devastating experience. I was cut from the JV basketball team for having a bad attitude. Don't worry, search committee, it worked out okay after that. I was rerouted, okay? But there's more to the story than that. But what's important is that at that moment in time, like, basketball was my passion, it was my identity, it's what I love doing more than anything else, and a single coach's decision changed my entire high school trajectory. And since I was actually in the school choir, okay? Since I was in the school choir, and since I suddenly had my winters free, the drama teacher asked if I might audition for the winter musical. I caved under the pressure. I did. It wasn't my plan. It wasn't my dream. But I kind of went with it. And from that moment on, I was in every play and musical John Jay produced in my time there. And so when I went to college, I thought, well, I guess I'll stop by the theater department. And that is where I met and fell in love with Tammy Lee Cavender. Incidentally, probably the only girl at Gettysburg College who always thought it might be neat to be married to a minister. So when I look at my two kids, who I adore more than my own life, I am reminded, I think back on how plans change. If it hadn't been for a coach, frankly, storming into my life and destroying my plans, well, I may never have met my wife. My kids would not be sitting here today, and it is very unlikely that I would be a pastor on the verge of being installed as your 19th senior minister. Now, I realize this may not work or be true for everyone, but it is my witness. The greatest blessings of my life arose from a storm that blew into my life and blew me off course my sophomore year in high school. Now, I realize, as planners, okay, as people who love to set and follow their own agenda, we may not be particularly comfortable with this reality, but you know what? It's true all the same. Your plans for yourself may not be nearly as interesting as the adventures that are unexpectedly presented to you. The best of life can be experienced when you get blown off course. Jonah, remember, who had a ticket in his hand to Tarshish, learned this lesson when he wound up in Nineveh. And it's a lesson we can learn too. You see, snowstorms occur. Flights get canceled. Storms rage at sea and voyages get diverted. Storms of circumstance can change our plans on any given day. Try not to complain about it. Instead, go with it. Just go with it. Embrace the adjustment and see where it takes you. You see, when your plans are dashed, recognize the very real possibility that that is the moment when the Lord's agenda can begin to move you forward. Let us pray together. Lord God, I am going to bet that there are very few of us in this room who like to fly by the seat of our pants. I'm going to bet that we feel more comfortable when we have our day or our life outlined, when we know the date of our retirement even. But Lord God, this life doesn't always cooperate. You have fashioned creation in a way where storms blow in and we can watch them, but we can't do much about them. So, Lord God, whatever storm is brewing in our lives, I pray that as our plans get adjusted, we might be open to the possibility that there's something even better on the other side of it. That maybe that storm blows us off course so that we might finally get back on course with you. We hope and pray for that in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.